Shouldn't we have beers for this episode? That would be nice. Get me a beer.
Do you not have any
beers? I don't have any beers.
Then I can't get you a beer.
It's also noon on Friday.
So?
Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 28th, 2017. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Yo!
How's it going?
Oh, not bad.
So, what happened? Your kids woke up yesterday and they're asking about you?
Yeah.
Did that happen before?
No. So I guess she woke up sobbing, saying, "Where's my daddy?"
Oh.
Which I think was a play that Jessica fell for, but that's not here.
You think she was bored? You think she had a nightmare?
No, I think she just woke up and was like, "I don't want to be in the crib anymore." And I know Mom's in the next room. I know.
I get it. Imagine just like, it's like, imagine not being somewhere you're forced to be. It's like captivity.
Yeah.
As an adult, I can't sympathize with that anymore.
Just shut up and take it.
It's like, well, you know.
Because I wanted to play Overwatch.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So welcome to the show. We're talking about some things we've been playing, like Splatoon 2 and Doomfist and Overwatch. Our topic, though, is we're going to talk about some of the best places to drink in Disney World, specifically. We'll mention the OG, the Trader Sam's, but just kind of... What stirred this on, Edge Guy?
So, Disney announced a kind of new area in Hollywood Studios in the former Streets of America, part of it at least, it's not going to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, called Grand Avenue, and featured within will be the Baseline Tap House, which is going to have like California beers and wines on tap and soda on tap and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. This seems to be something Disney's been doing a lot of. Are these really cool themed smaller, like bars and tap houses and things like that?
This is interesting to me because we haven't really seen a lot of these like just the full on kind of bar things in the parks. We've seen like lounges and stuff, and then of course you have like the countries, Epcot.
Yeah, like Cava del Tequila.
Right. But yeah, this kind of seems like if they're like full on taking that concept of being like, all right, look, this is what we're doing like right here in an area that kind of needs something.
Right, so like we knew they were keeping part of this area. Like they redid the facades. They're very bright and colorful. So the whole idea is this is kind of an homage to modern day Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Avenue is where the Disney... concert hall is.
Okay.
So, like, it's, like, one of those, like, revitalized downtown areas.
I think it'll kind of help the transition from, like, Muppets over to more the Star Wars
stuff. Plus, it'll be a good place to hold over, like, the spillover crowds from Star Wars, which I'm sure will be significant.
We'll get up with booze.
That's right. We'll ply them with alcohol.
Yep.
So, should we start with Trader Sam's and go
sure.
from there? Because that was kind of, like, I think the first, like, win for this concept.
Because they kind of, well, starting when a lot of these kind of like, when like bars are, I mean, maybe this is a societal shift that I'm making up my mind, but it seems like bars have been shifting from these kind of like drudgy places you go to get Miller Lights to like, yeah, these places like with like all this nice craft beer.
Yeah,
and,
it's a tap house or
yeah,
or
you know, and like, you know, a lot of times they'll brew their own stuff even and whatnot, which has been a nice change. Then Trader Sam's, and this is in Disneyland, opened, It's in the, like, the Disneyland Hotel kind of like courtyard area. Mm-hmm. I forget when it opened exactly. It's not that old, like 2009-ish,
something like that. Yeah,
somewhere around there maybe. But it's a tiki bar, and it's highly themed.
It like, only fits like 50 people.
Yeah,
small.
It's small. It's highly themed. Like there's these like these windows, like the fake windows. There's like special effects. Like you'll make it look like there's a rainstorm when you like order a drink. If you order like a drink called a shipwreck, there's a glass in the bottle and like
a glass in the bottle,
a ship in the bottle. Excuse me, and the ship will like sink and stuff. I'm a little out of it today. You might have to forgive me.
Yeah.
But just like this really great. It's like. It's like my favorite place in the world. I love Trader Sam's.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
The bartenders are all kind of in on it.
Right.
And they're all in character, so to speak.
Right. No, they have these fantastic drinks. They have, some good beers on tap. It's just a fun time. Mm-hmm. And it was a real big hit with them. I think they were almost kind of surprised by how big of a hit it became. So then the Disney World kind of started taking some of this concept with their own Trader Sam's kind of. First off, which is in the Polynesian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool because it's not like a complete lift-off. It's a little bit of a different concept.
Well, it's the Grog Grotto as mm-hmm. opposed to the Tiki right. Bar.
I don't know if I've ever quite liked it as much as the original.
No, I mean, I was there by myself, so
sure.
I might have lost something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bigger. Not so big, but a little bit. The bar was a weird shape, as I recall. It wasn't like a wraparound. It was just like a straight bar. And where I was sitting was like lower for some reason. A lot of the same drinks, though. Some unique ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, the coolest thing there is the Nautilus. The glass, like the glass fort, literally looks like the submarine from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Mm-hmm. That's the cool thing, too, is like they have these fancy glasses, and of course you can buy them.
Oh, that's right, and we have almost all of them.
Yeah, but kind of the around the same time, though, when the Disney Springs revitalization happened, one of the coolest things that they opened is this bar called Jock Lindsay's.
Yes,
which is. I love the concept of this, because it's an Indiana Jones bar, but it's not like
hitting you in the face with a whip. Indiana Jones! Right,
like the idea is like Indiana Jones pilot opened this bar, and it's his hangar, and it's the hangar bar. And you go in there, you look around, and it's like you can see like letters from Indiana Jones, and you see like stuff like of Indiana Jones, right? Like, oh, this is, you know, kind of adventurous, but it's not like there's like a Indiana Jones statue out front, and like, you know, it's,
yeah, his name's not on the building,
right? It's kind of as far as Indiana Jones bars go, it's classy.
Yes,
yeah, but it looks great there because you got like all these like it's like their artifacts around, but you also have like posters from Jock Lindsay's like kind of
travels
and his Sky Circus days and stuff like that,
which ties into the Rocketeer.
There's references to the Rocketeer, which is just anything that does that. I'm a very big fan of. And it's got like this nice outdoor lounge too by the water that looks really pretty. You can one of the big tables inside a diving bell.
Yeah,
that's great. And really good drinks. I guess we didn't really talk. Maybe like, what's your favorite Trader Sam's drink?
Probably the Shipwreck.
Shipwreck is real good, and it's kind of the like. How would you describe it? It's kind of like a sweet sort of.
Yeah, it's rum. A lot of rum.
Yeah, but then what about so at Jock Lindsay's? What's your
What was the one? Was it the
Scottish Professor? I remember.
Is that the one that had the bourbon in it?
I think so.
Yeah, it's a Kentucky. What's it? What's the shit? What's the distillery? Knob Creek.
Yes, I think yes. So.
But it's a variety exclusive to Disney World Resort. But it's in such demand for that bar because they have a drink with it. They all just go there. So it's literally a variety of Knob Creek you could only get at Jock Lindsay's. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Right.
Yeah. I asked to try some. They let me try. And I was like, yep, that is
tasty. I ordered a shot of it. It's great stuff. But yeah, I love that bar. That bar just looks really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. And it should be mentioned, too, all these places have really good food. It's small plates. Mm-hmm. You know, wings and pretzels and
things like that. The boulders from the meatball boulders from this thing, yeah.
It's all like good stuff. It's great for like a late evening, light dinner, get some drinks.
Exactly. And then kind of one of the other big theme bars we haven't had as much time there is the Abracadab Bar down at...
I haven't been there at all yet.
I kind of just walked in. It looks really cool. So this is in the boardwalk area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the theme of it is like kind of like those like early 20th century like magicians. It looks really cool.
That's cool, yeah.
It's kind of like kind of classy. And again, I haven't had anything written there. But yeah, it's just another like concept high, like really cool looking bar. It's just if I was staying at any of those resorts around there, Beach Club, I'd be heading over there all the time. Mm-hmm, it's just really, really neat.
So, Epcot, of course, you know, drinking around the world is a well known pastime for many at World Showcase. A couple of the standouts for me, the Cava del Tequila in Mexico is phenomenal.
It's very popular now.
Well, what's so great about it is all the staff there. Like, they know tequila the way, like, a sommelier knows wine. Sure. So they'll, like, explain it to you, tell you interesting ways to drink it. It's, like, it's kind of like the interactive experience of it that's good. And, I mean, the margaritas you get there are just insane. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Right. I think my favorite place is still to maybe drink. And it's, you kind of have to sit down, but the beer garden in Germany. And there's a place you can just get some beer, too. But I love being in that beer garden because you get these giant liters of Hefeweizen or Dunkels. You get that buffet with, like, just, like, schnitzel and spatzel and all the other rolls. And and you got, like, the show. And it's, like, a really – it's this awesome, like, you know, German show, like – you know, the
guys in Lederhosen playing the big Lederhosen, horn.
Oh, the big, like, the Ricola horn. The Ricola horn. That was incredible. To actually see that thing, that was so good. If you had a couple liters and you see that thing come out, you're excited. You're having a good day. The best, too, was, like, I remember we were, like, running late because we needed to do something for a fast pass, and I still had this big beer. Like, oh, do you want that to go?
I was like, Why, yes, yes I do.
That bitch, I'm running from Germany to Soren with a liter of Epilife. Chugging it as I'm
stopping. Step, step, step.
It was good. It was fun, Dad. Yeah, it's like each country just has like a stand, you know, and it's fun. Like in Mexico, even it's not the tequila, but they had a beer. They were serving a credenza with, and it had like a floater of a Kahlua in it.
Oh.
That was really interesting. And that was really cool.
Norway serves up a really good beer that I've discovered is not that hard to find, actually. Carlsberg, but that's...
And I haven't done it yet, but people love that Italy wine bar.
Yeah, I've been in there myself, but Jeff Parsons raves about it.
Yeah. I gotta do that at some point. It'd be kind of neat if they could have, like, some sort of area in America with a lot of our craft brew on show, right?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Just get Sam Adams to pay for it or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be...
That would be neat.
Mm-hmm. That'd be really neat.
That's one thing. Like, all the food in World Showcase is incredible. America's just got like the quick service thing with burgers. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I mean,
get Michael Simon to make a barbecue joint,
right?
Or something,
right?
Yeah. So, anything else in Epcot before I kind of jot us away?
Not really.
To maybe one of my new favorite places I discovered at my last trip, which so they opened up that restaurant Tiffin's in Animal Kingdom. So this is in the park. And it has this lounge area, which is quite separate in a way. Like, you walk into, like, the front desk. To the left is the lounge. To the right is the restaurant. So you almost kind of, you know, pick. They even have different food. Like, there's small plates at the lounge.
I believe you can order across. Okay. Like, they'll do it.
Yeah, but, like, it almost feels more like it's just, like, one of those bars we were talking about. It's kind of like, you know, an expedition bar, you know, kind of a thing. God, was it awesome, though. It was just really pretty in there. I got this kind of sweet bourbon drink. It was like called a Tigress or something or another. And oh my god, it was like one of the best mixed drinks I ever had.
Nice.
So we got like these ribs with this like lime sauce on it and these, oh my god, I love that place. That's like a new like must go. I'm almost kind of like sad that because it was kind of just tucked in a corner, but that corner,
now it's the entrance to Pandora.
So I wonder if it's like going to be way more crowded now, but yeah. It was like really calm and nice and relaxing in there, but I loved that.
I'm trying to think, like, all the hotels pretty much have, like, a lounge somewhere. I really like the one at Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah. What's that? Is that Geyser Point Lounge?
Yes.
Something?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a really nice one.
That's a good one. They have really good, like, homemade chips with, like, a blue cheese dipping sauce there.
I like that second floor area in the Polynesian. It's kind of right by the one restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Got a nice little bar right there.
Behind where the orchestra plays.
Exactly. So is there any other big ones you think?
Well, what was that 30-year scotch I had at Victoria and Albert's? Does that count?
Well, at every restaurant you can get a nice drink, and they'll probably have a bar of some kind.
Yes.
I've never gone to just, like Narcoossee's instead of the bar or something.
Yeah,
like
that'd be something to do.
Right.
I love Narcoossee's.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the Magic Kingdom not having alcohol thing is still good, or is it becoming antiquated?
No, it's fine. I mean, you go to be our guest if you need a beer that
right.
bad.
And does
I don't think Skipper Canteen
Skipper
does.
Canteen
I don't
does.
Think so.
It would be a good place for it in a way.
It'd just be kind of the same menu as Trader Sam's. Oh, here's one thing that's incredible. If you go to I forget the name of it. It's in Africa at Animal Kingdom. They don't call it Dole Whip, but it's Dole Whip, and they put rum in it.
Where is this at? Like that new marketplace they
opened? No. It's right when you walk into Africa, like the original entrance across the bridge, it's kind of to the right there. Yeah, Dole Whip with dark rum. Fantastic.
How about some other places in Disney Springs? I love
T-Rex? Where you got your giant frozen mojito and a dinosaur bone?
Oh my god, this was like before I was really drinking.
That was like one of the first things to get you into alcohol. Cause you're like, oh, this is good.
That was kind of fun, actually, that big old frozen mojito. But no, Raglan Road.
Oh, Raglan Road is phenomenal. If you want good, you know, Irish and English beers,
get yourself a Guinness.
Get a proper pint.
Get Guinness, get some fish and chips. That's always a fun thing to do. You actually kind of like Planet Hollywood, if I recall. What's that? Oh, that's non-alcoholic though. The
Home Alone, that's like a strawberry smoothie.
You always
basically.
Like that.
Yeah, it's good. I was gonna say again, this is not a wholly unique Disney thing, I guess, but the ESPN Zone, where we were watching Cavs playoff games one year, eating nachos.
That's like 2008.
Getting a pitcher of Sam Adams Summer Ale.
This is again before I was really drinking.
Yeah.
I was like that place because it was kind of like oldish. It's not an ESPN Zone. Like all the, probably now they updated, but even back then, like all the TVs were SD TVs.
Yeah, right? It was like,
which even at that point was kind of out of date.
Yeah.
It was kind of like charming
and
in this
bizarre
way. They
had like one giant projector.
Yeah, it's like it was big. It just wasn't in HD.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. I think the place to go drink right now in Disney World is Jacques Le's.
Oh, hands
that
down.
Place is fun. I love it. It's a great place to get that really awesome small place. You're right. Disney Springs is so awesome. You go there at night. You kind of have a few drinks. You go outside. You look at the boats a bit. And you just kind of walk around, look at the shops.
Did you see this thing that the Dockside Margarita Stand does now?
No.
They have Throwback Thursday, where they bring back old drink recipes from the old Pleasure Island clubs.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
I still completely missed.
You did.
That. I was just not the right age to ever do any of that Pleasure Island stuff.
You did. Oh, Adventures Club was so good.
Adventures Club sounds like something I would really like.
Adventures Club was basically, think bigger Jock Lindsay's with more of a show element.
Right.
That's kind of what it was.
They always pay homage to the Adventures Club in Jock Lindsay's and Trader Sam's and a lot of these
and,
places.
And Skipper Canteen.
Amber's Canteen, yeah.
Anytime you see Kungaloosh, that's an Adventures Club reference.
Right.
That was their salute.
So, that's nice. So, all right then. Yay, alcohol.
Yes, I will have one alcohol, please.
I could go for a shipwreck right now, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
I'm looking at my glass right now. I have the one from Jock Lindsay's. It's cool because it comes with a poison dart in it.
Yes, yes.
It's like your stirrer.
That's your mixer.
I have quite a collection now of Trader Sam glasses with a little bit of Jock Lindsay's in there. And these glasses are awesome. I love it. The Krakatoa's got like the lava
You have the newer Uh-Oh, it's only three columns. I have the original one from when we went.
The Uh-Oh is like the fancy, the big drink at Trader Sam's.
That one, like the
it's
whole
on
bar, like it starts raining, quote unquote, in the bar in Florida. They actually have the Uh-Oh animatronic that was in the Tiki Room under new management in the bar. It comes to life.
Yeah.
You're like throwing cinnamon in the flames.
Yeah, it's like the cup has like three little like
sugar cubes that they soak in rum.
Well, yeah, but no, but like this on the ends, it's like those little, I don't know, divots where they put the cinnamon in. You pick it up and you like throw it in the drink and it catches on like blue fire.
Well, yeah, because they have the rum soaked sugar cubes are lit.
Yeah.
They're flaming. You're throwing cinnamon at it. Then the bartender will eventually like push a spoon so it dunks it into the drink and extinguishes the flame. So you get like a lot of cinnamon and sugar in your drink. But
it's fun. Oh, I like that. It's great.
Delicious.
It's fun stuff.
Should we know that the Nautilus is also a 2-person drink. I wanted a Nautilus. You wanted a Nautilus. So I had to drink two of those by myself.
You're a hero, Edge Guy.
I am a hero. I'm a Warcraft hero.
All right. So you think we can move on to some of the things we've been playing?
Speaking of new heroes.
Yeah, there you go. How about that Doomfist?
He's pretty Doomfist.
I tell you what, I've already taken quite a liking to him.
Yeah, so.
I mean, but more so than some of the other new characters they introduced, he's a bit more straightforward. Like, the intricacy kind of comes in knowing how to escape once you dive in.
So his whole thing is, surprise, he has a big fist he punches people with. So much so that his primary attack, which is like this knuckle-loaded shotgun, is almost a secondary thing.
Yeah, you can't even reload it.
No, it like kind of regenerates
so
itself.
So it kind of makes sure you don't spam it.
Yeah, that's like your, oh, I didn't quite kill him, let me try to finish him off.
It's kind of your
this.
Filler between cooldowns and your, like, finish him off, yeah.
So you have three main abilities. Your right click is a charge punch, like you dash forward with your fist out. The longer you hold it, the further you go, the more damage you do. And when you hit someone, you knock them back. If they hit a wall, more damage. So you can one-shot a lot of people with this thing, especially in a crowded area. Mm-hmm. Shift button is your shuriken uppercut. And then the E button is kind of like a leap up, forward, and down smash.
Right.
And anyone caught in it gets sucked in.
A little bit, yeah. So like the uppercut and the smashers, because they don't do a ton of damage. They're almost more mobility in a lot of ways,
yeah.
Right? Because when you get up there with the shift and then use the E, you can get pretty far away.
Yeah, you launch.
So
the problem is they change it from the PTR. When you hit your shift, there is like a bit of a delay before you can do anything else. You just kind of float there for a second.
Yeah, so it makes you a little vulnerable. So kind of like being a good, it's kind of like being a good Genji when you know when to dive in.
Mm-hmm.
And with Genji, you want to dive in when almost dead, because when you get a kill, it refreshes your dive.
Yeah.
So you can get back out. So with him, you want to dive in when you can get a kill maybe or do some damage. Like you use that right click, shoot a little bit at the left, hopefully get a kill, and then use that uppercut and E to escape, hopefully.
Also, every time you connect one of your fist abilities, you get some armor.
A little bit. It's not going to be enough. Like, don't think like, oh, so if I just go in there and hit it, I can
live. I'll never die, yeah.
You'll die, because they'll focus on you. Mm-hmm. But, a lot of fun. His ultimate seems really good for chasing down healers and other weak characters, and maybe even like trying
taking
to take out
turrets
and
yeah.
stuff like that. So, yeah, I've been having, we were having a lot of fun playing with him so far. I think it'll be a good addition to the game. What do you want to see next? I think we need another healer.
Yeah, more of a straight up healer, not like Ana, where it's like
this, not like a damagey. Yeah, somebody
but,
who.
But how does that look though? You already have a direct healer, you have an AoE healer, you have a dot healer.
Like, it is challenging to keep making healers interesting, yeah, isn't
like,
it?
Like, what do you do?
I don't know. I'm sure people have been thinking about this, and there's ways.
Yeah.
Because even like the shooting a person to heal them thing is mildly high concept, and we've done that already.
Right.
So we have aura, you have direct, you have dot. What is the other, what are the video
would
games
it be,
do?
Would it be like dropping health packs kind of deal?
Maybe, that's a thing. You kind of have something like, you kind of, characters kind of do things like the armor packs, but it'd have to be more high-end. Or it could be dropping a lot of little, like, healing circles, kind of like what Soldier does, but just much more.
Oh, that'd
more.
Be good, yeah, like little pads.
Like, much more of them, mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Yeah, you gotta do something. It's always kind of hard to keep healers original and exciting, especially right now when you play competitive, almost everybody plays with two healers. And there's, you know, what, five of them. So
yeah.
It's like those characters are seeing a lot of time played.
Yeah.
You know, more so I care. So it's introducing more of them can hopefully mix things up a bit. So, I mean, I talked about Splatoon 2 a lot. We all kind of got to play together now.
Yeah, so let's start with the good. Fantastic game. Love the game.
Super fun.
Single player is incredible. The first boss fight I did it was
boss fights are great.
Remarkably cool. Looks nice. When you're playing multiplayer, you know, that it's such a fun concept.
Such a cool concept. It's all very, very visually and, like, aesthetically pleasing. You know,
they're quick matches. They're 3-minute matches. So, like, moves. That's all wonderful. But Nintendo had to be Nintendo with this shit, didn't they? Let's start small. Little things. Like Salmon Run. Haven't played it yet. Because they only turn it on certain days of the week? Like, is it a regular thing?
I forget.
But that's like their horde mode. You can't play it whenever you want. It's like the Iron Banner.
You can play it locally every time you want.
Yes. But, like, why does it have to be like, oh, nope, not today? Like, why?
I don't know.
Then they do the dumbass thing where it's only two maps in the rotation every 2 hours. So you're playing the same two maps over and over again. Mm. And God forbid you're playing when the 2 hour mark hits, because it will kick you out of your game.
It'll kick you out of a game in progress.
No, but like you're out of the lobby, you're back to the town, and I hate the town. I hate that.
That sounds fine.
I hate the whole like we could do some menus, but we're gonna make you walk
around.
No,
I like the town. I'll define the town. The town's fine.
And then you gotta get back into a game. It's like okay,
you don't like that little like seeing people's pictures and walk through a store.
I'll walk right past them. I don't care.
Oh come on, you're grump.
I've seen enough Nick Cage memes.
You're grump. I have not.
So, that's, like, annoying. Let's talk about this app. Because, Mike, you tried to warn me. I was like...
You're not ready.
Maybe it's, like, a pre-release thing. It can't be this bad. It's worse.
Yeah.
You undersold how bad it is, Michael. If that's possible. I think I could have.
So, it's useless, basically.
So, the first night Chris and I were trying to play, you were out. We're like, and so, we had no experience either of us. We're like, all right, let's see how this goes. So, I go into game lobby... And the only thing they'll let me pick is private match. Like, how's this a thing? Now, apparently, I could do Salmon Run, but it's locked. And I could do League Battles. But to unlock League Battles, first I have to get to rank 10, which takes a long fucking time, mm-hmm. to unlock Rank Battles. Then I gotta get rank B-. Who knows how hard that is? Then I'll unlock League Battles. And I don't know if you know this. Do you have to have a 4-man team for League Battles?
I have no idea how League Battles work.
Okay, so let's just assume that's not the answer.
I mean,
so here's Chris and I in a game lobby. The only option is to play 1v1. What?
In my app.
Okay. So meanwhile, here we are in the Switch app. Sound quality is garbage. As they say, if you do anything on your phone, it disconnects you. Can't put it to sleep. Which their whole thing was like, oh, it'll be so convenient when you're on the go because you'll like use your phone. I'm not going to leave my phone unlocked and on the entire time I'm playing a game. If I'm out, it's going to kill my battery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kill it dead. So that's useless. So finally, we're like, okay, how do we actually play with each other and other people? Well, the solution there is he joins a regular battle, and then I have to immediately hit join friend, which does not use the mobile app, and hope that his lobby hasn't filled up, which I guarantee you it will.
So now
I'm waiting 3 minutes per round, hoping someone quits. Meanwhile, we're in Discord, which sounds a million times better and works better, because when they announced this app, my assumption was, oh, okay, so you'll, like, make a party in the app.
Right, you know, it's not that.
No, like, you can't do anything in the app until you have a game playing. Okay, so we made a group in Discord and, like, you know, got that going. But now, even now we're in the same lobby, you think the game would be like, oh, these guys are friends, let's put them on the same team.
No.
Nope. You got a 50-50 shot of going against each other or with each other. The fact that Halo 2 on the original Xbox in 2003 had better online functionality than this. This is not Nintendo being Nintendo. This is just incompetence.
It's a dumpster fire. It's bad. You wonder if they even care.
I think that's my biggest problem. I don't think they will, and I don't think they care. I have zero confidence that Nintendo will read the internet, which is calling this an abortion of technology, and they will not be like, oh my god, we gotta fix this. People are saying bad things about
it. I wonder if it will come to slightly more of a head when people have to pay for it.
I don't know. Like, I was doing it on the Two Old Friends podcast last night. Like, I could see the interview with Reggie, where they're like, what do you say to the negative feedback? Well, we at Nintendo always listen to our fans, and we appreciate their feedback, but we believe this is a robust solution.
And, you know, we actually have a lot of people who actually like it.
Yeah, like, they'll just do that bullshit. Nothing will change. It's awful. It's awful. I don't know why it exists. It's dumb, and they should be put in jail.
Go to jail. So, yeah, that's bad. Want to hear about another game I was playing?
Sure.
Playing this Metroidvania called Sundered. Have you heard about this?
Just from you.
I think it comes out today for PlayStation 4 and PC. So it's a 2D. It kind of has like a 2D art thing, like not pixel, like I'll think it's more like Ori. Yeah, hand drawn. Looks really nice. And it's kind of like Rogue Legacy, where you kind of go as far as you can, collecting like money as you do it, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, shards. And when you die, it kind of takes you to a skill tree where you can spend that on to make yourself more powerful, so you can kind of get a bit further. But it's a bit more like. Rogue Legacy was almost a bit more Castlevania-ish roguelike, and, like, the entire layout would change each time.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting because, like, the general layout's the same. So, like, think you're looking at, like, that Metroid map, right? And there's a lot of bigger squares that give up the map. But inside those bigger squares, that, like, layout will actually change.
So the rooms are the same, but the content changes.
Right, yeah. And not even rooms, because, like, there's, like... Like the smaller rooms inside these like larger areas will even be a little bit different.
Okay.
And there's like some places like this is like a room that has like a thing you need to item to progress, so that'll be the same. Or like this is the room where you get an ability, that'll be the same. So it's kind of neat, and it is like Metroidvania-ish where you know you're getting like here's the new abilities, so I can go back here and do this thing.
It's classic.
You can do some things out of order. It's a bit non-linear. It's cool. And then like the way it handles enemies is sort of interesting and a little different. It's not like enemies aren't just like in a set place. They'll kind of just come at you in waves, sometimes big waves, and then you have to like fight them off wherever you are. It's kind of like a good and a bad thing because it's kind of interesting because like you don't know what's going to happen, but it kind of, you're getting attacked a lot. Combat is a big focus of it, and you mostly just have these kind of melee moves.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing a lot of the same enemies. It's kind of the same thing with like a lot of this like procedurally generated stuff, like even like those areas, right? Even though they're different every time, sometimes you might not even really know because it looks pretty similar. It's not about like platforming. It's not like Ori where it's about all this platforming necessarily. But still, it looks really good. The combat does feel good. I love that Rogue Legacy concept. Like, get as far as you can, get a little bit better. And, like, you know, some things are the same. Like, you unlocked this shortcut. So it's not you're literally going that whole path now. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you open that door so then you can go this way and get over there. I think it's really neat. And if you like Metroidvanias, I think it's something you should check out.
Cool.
I love Metroidvanias, man.
Who doesn't?
It's a good genre. It is just a fantastic genre. It, you know, we've already had Ori kind of almost lock things up for best Metroidvania of modern times, but hey, there's an Ori 2 coming.
Yay!
God, I love Ori, man.
Yeah. So, I found what's probably the best VR game.
Ever.
Yes.
Is it Rick and Morty?
No.
Okay.
It is called Echo Chamber. So, there's a multiplayer component. I haven't tried it yet. Single player takes place on a space station above Saturn in the future. You play as this like android assistant to the lone scientist on the station. Everything's in zero G. And it's like that zero G game in Ender's Game. Like, you're getting around by reaching out for handrails or just surfaces, grabbing onto them and pushing off. And you float around. And you would think that would make you really sick, but it doesn't. I played for an hour and a half the first night and felt fine.
Huh.
What it does is you don't rotate. I think you could turn that on, and there was even like a thing like not recommended next to it. So you're always level. And what it is, you know, like you know, an anomaly hits and stuff gets broken, and now you're trying to save the station and figure out what's going on. So, you know, you're solving puzzles, you're fixing things, you're
yeah, moving around. Yeah, I've been playing VR game forever.
Oh, it's Mike, it's so good.
Yeah, maybe
it looks incredible. The story's really neat. It's just, it's one of those games, again, that, like, you can't do this not in VR, and it just works. It's made by Ready at Dawn, the guys who did, like, the Order 1886 and the really good PSP God of War games.
Yeah. Those guys are good.
So, yeah, I mean, they're a phenomenal studio. It's just, it's so fun. It's cool. It's so neat.
I want to see Descent in VR now, just see, like, the complete, like barf bag God. That would be.
Oh, God. One of the smart things it does, too, like, you always have a visor on, and so, like, you have a little bit of, like, not a HUD so much, but there's, like, these lines, so that kind of, like, gives you something to focus on when you're moving. One of the things I love is you have two wrist-mounted tools that you can use, either a scanner or, like, a little, like, laser cutter. And there are buttons on either the top or bottom of your wrist. And so the way you're turning these on is to literally reach out with your index finger and tap your wrist. And the Oculus Touch controllers are, you know, so precise. Mm-hmm. That works. And it just turns on this thing. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm a robot. And I got buttons on my wrist.
Right. Sounds good. We'll have to go to your place and try it.
There you go.
All right. I think that's going to do it. Thanks for listening to the Explain Girl podcast, everybody.
Yeah.
You can find more of us at evpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to go to the Apple Podcast thingy.
Sure. Close enough.
Good enough.
You're getting there.
Your Google Play. Stitcher things, though. Stitcher. All right. So, yeah.
There's better ways to listen to podcasts than Stitcher.
Listen to AJ on the Too Old for This. Listen to me on Games Beat the Sides. We both have our side podcast projects now. So.
Yeah, just for our inevitable breakup.
Right. But
we're coming up on 10 years from next month.
Good time to end it.
Okay. That's what you think.
Oh no! All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel.
Bye bye.